You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of The Drift. Good to have you along for another show here. And it's been 2-3 weeks now. I'm a little slow getting these out, aren't I? My apologies to those that are kind of looking forward to it, but I just can't seem to get to where I want to do one every week at this point. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try and get in there. So here in Michigan, Governor Whitmer just tried to keep our... Well, she didn't try. She went ahead and extended our stay-at-home orders for another couple of weeks. After the 30th, it was supposed to be done, but she's saying we're going to go to the 15th now. But she did make some concessions on lightening up on the rules a little bit. And that includes we can now go outside our house to the greenhouses and buy landscape supplies and seeds and that kind of stuff. So the greenhouses are open. And that's an important, really important economic thing because, you know, greenhouses in Michigan are huge and they make most of their money between, you know, April and August. And if they're closed for May, you're really putting a dent in the money they need to survive. So that's good. That's open. She also told the big box retailers that are normally open for just food that they could go ahead and open up their aisles for non-food items as well. So we're back on for paint. I mean, you could order online for paint or call in and have things. That was still there. But to be able to go into a store and buy paint and stuff to work on projects around your house or outside your house is now in place. So you can go ahead and do that. She also let loose the rule about no motors on boats. People can use their boats now with motors on them, so it's not just canoes and kayaks and rowboats anymore, which is huge. Again, Michigan, boating is absolutely huge. Now, I don't know where marinas and boat stores and boat dealers are at in this yet. I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. She did say she was going to look at it. So I think the pressure got to her. Now, a lot of people were complaining that, you know, the people that did the Operation Gridlock, which was a huge success a week or so ago, that it was a bad thing. But it wasn't. It's that kind of pressure from the people of the state of Michigan that put pressure on her to go ahead and relax this a little bit. Now, she's trying to save face by putting another 15 days. And I'll be honest, in certain areas of the state, Detroit area probably, the easiest one to look at, should probably stay with some stay-at-home rules. But there are parts of the state, I think, that could easily open up. And maybe if she had any brains, she would look at going on a county-by-county basis, but I don't know that she's willing to do that as of yet anyway. But we'll see what Madam Whitmer will do. I almost called her Whitmer, but no, we'll see. So welcome to The Drift and what we do on The Drift podcast. Let's go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. You can go there, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And I pull up stories from around the world and across the nation and put them up there. It's the stuff you don't see on the mainstream media. So I'm hoping you're going there. And I've been doing it for quite some time now. And there are days when I think, I can't do it. But it wouldn't be the Daily Drift if I took a day off now, would it? Mm-hmm. So things are looking up. Things are getting better. There are some people saying that this pandemic is way overblown, and I'm one of those people that kind of tends to believe that. As we, and I've said it because I've had friends who are I'm in the auto industry. I've had friends in the auto industry and other industries that have gone to China way back in November, December, came back. Some of them had the flu. What they thought was the flu, more than likely it was pandemic, COVID-19, that we just didn't know, right? In California, Governor Gavin Newsom has said do some autopsies on people that died earlier than February to see if they actually died of complications of COVID-19. They've been doing now the antibody tests across the nation. California, Stanford, which is not a conservative school by any means, did a test, and they're saying that 55 to 85 times more people have had this based on antibodies in their blood, antigens in their blood, than what we think is going on. And studies out of New York, France, Sweden are all saying the same thing. More people have had this. So this thing may have been going around a lot sooner than we think. And some of I remember having an odd few warm nights, headachy, back in early February. Maybe I had it, maybe I didn't. I'd love to take the antigen test just to see myself. But when you look at it, if you add all those numbers, that's going to drop the mortality rate on this thing down to less than 1%, which will be even less than the flu. And really, did we go at this the wrong way? You know, did we blow this out of proportion? And who's responsible for blowing that out of proportion? Is it the media? Is it the Democrats? Is it the Chinese themselves? You know, I've been following one of my favorite hashtags on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, you should be. You can look me up at Gary Daily Drift and follow me, and I'll follow you back. But one of mine was economic bioweapon, because I think, you know, if and I've said this probably since I was in college in poli sci class, right? The greatest weapon in the world today is economics. You know, the Chinese, whether this, we can debate whether it was an accident or whether they did it on purpose. The Chinese, through their indiscretion of not being transparent, not nipping this in the bud, and not containing this in their own country, have destroyed their biggest economic adversary, the United States of America's economy. They have, along with the rest of the world's economy. You know, you hear people now talking China's going to have to, the state of Missouri is suing China. I wish here in Michigan, Dana Nessel, our liberal, progressive, communist, George Soros-supported attorney general would sue China over this. Trillions, excuse me, and trillions of dollars around the world have been lost because of China. And if this was an accident, fine. You screwed up. You owe some reparations to the rest of the world. That's my thoughts on this. But let's take a step back, because is COVID-19 so bad that we should have everything shut down? Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, opened up today. It's Friday. And got a little blowback from even the president, thinking that he was opening up a little too early. They're supposed to open up restaurants on Monday, I think. And, you know, part of me, when I look at the data that I'm seeing, doesn't make it look like it's any worse. We didn't do this with the swine flu, H1N1. We didn't do this with other flus, SARS. And when you look at the data from across the globe, it's really not the average Joe that's dying. It's older and compromised people that are dying. I think something like 80% of the people that have died around the world have all been over 65. Older senior citizens with compromised health issues. What does that tell you? That means the average guy on the street, the average child, the average child should be in school. And yet, here in Michigan, we've knocked out school for the rest of the year, rest of the 19 and 20 school year. You know? Kids aren't going back. Some of them are doing online. At least I hope they're all doing something online before the June cutoff. I would love to see the schools go back, but I guess that's not going to happen. You know, in the end, it's a wake-up call for everybody. States, state level, federal level, county and cities should be looking at how they were prepared or unprepared. I mean, I'm not going to. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. The couple of weeks. Lockdown, 2-3 week lockdown to flatten the curve, as they say, because our capacities at the hospitals wasn't there, maybe. But even now, we're being told, you know what, this is maybe not an issue for the ventilators. Maybe the ventilators were causing more of an issue. We can get into that. We could do a whole show on the actual, and I'd like to, and maybe we will. I'll have to get a doctor friend of mine to come in, and we'll look at it. Okay, so I've got a good friend of mine from upstate New York on the line. Pat, welcome to the show.
Gary, thanks for having me. Great to talk to you, man. It's been too long, buddy.
Yeah, a long time. I want to think the last time you actually co-hosted with me would have been, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was either December of 16 or 17.
Yeah, long so. Oh, well, there you go. Long time ago. Yeah, great. Yeah, and I think Joe, our buddy Joe, was with us too, obviously, at that time.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, so you moved to New York about 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's the feeling going on with you're in lockdown. Tell us a little bit about your lockdown. Is it as bad as they've done to us here in Michigan?
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's across the board. So, you know, there's nothing going on, face masks in a public place. You know, you see people hunkered down here in the neighborhood. You know, people are walking around doing their activity, but, you know, very, very limited, you know, kind of interaction, if you will. Teresa and I went to around the Erie Canal today and walked. There's a trail that goes about 36 miles around the Erie Canal that we can go to. And we walked around there, and there was, I don't know, 20 or 30 people we saw with masks on and that whole thing. But, you know, Cuomo's in his glory right now, man. He's getting some big-time publicity, and he's preparing for the run he's going to make the next time the elections come around.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Is it true, and I thought I've read this in a few different articles, that Cuomo had an opportunity to buy many more ventilators back in 2015 or 16 and chose not to? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that he, you know, the rest of the state, something like 42% of the property owners pay 100% of the property tax in the state. So, you know, a normal house in Michigan, Gary, on a, like, you know, a walled lake or on a really nice lake out there is $6,000-$7,000. It's $17,000 or $18,000 here.
Wow.
For property tax.
Wow.
And, you know, you're paying for New York City. So it's very difficult with the pensions they've got to pay out and all the things that are going on, you know, and this is why, you know, I think McConnell's calling these people out and saying, hey, the coronavirus isn't code for get me whole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because I was going to ask you more and we can get back to that. But since you brought it up, that's exactly what I see a lot of these states doing. Their pensions are so bad, they're ready to, if they have an opportunity to have the feds bail them out, that this is their opportunity, right?
Nothing, oh,
like,
for sure.
Nothing like a good crisis to make a plan or make a change, right?
Yeah. Instead of COVID, I think it's get well. Right. I mean, these guys are, you know, and it's some of the, you know, you heard the Ritz-Carlton guy, you know, they got $60 million. You know, you heard the Harvard thing. You heard the, you know, the other company, big companies that have given some money back. I mean, this is, you know, this is the time to get well. And, you know, I've got a buddy there in Heartland that owns a restaurant, and you know, he's down, man.
Right.
The 16th of March, he went down.
Yeah, yeah. He's and he's not even open. You're talking about our good buddy at Mackel's Tables and Taps, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a restaurant that was, you know, doing exceptionally well, a pillar in the community. You know, the owner is just a great community guy, and you know, he's got a tear in his eye because he's got to take people out.
Yeah.
He's got to, you know, you can't survive carry out, right? I mean, that just isn't going to work.
Yeah, and that's right? That's one of my favorite places. Now I'll take my gal up for dinner there, and the food has never been bad. It's always extraordinary. It's a unique menu. I just love Mackel's Tables and Taps. We'll get a little plug.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect for any area, but it suits that area just perfectly.
Right.
I mean, it's just a great spot. But yeah, this is the time for these governments to get well. you know, Illinois is playing a game, you know, New York will do it as well. I mean, they want money, you know, Cuomo wants cash, you know, show me the bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that whole thing. And, you know, I think he's getting along with Trump at the end of the day, but, you know, it's just a travesty that we've got 5%, you know, fatalities, I don't know, 900,000 or something like that in the States has got it. And, you know, 50,000 and change of folks that have died. And, you know, one life is too many, but, you know, people are going to die.
Yeah.
In life.
My new favorite saying is you can't death proof life.
No kidding.
You know, you just can't. And it seems like when you look back now at the big grand scheme of things, it's like the liberals want to literally make everything perfect. And life isn't about being perfect. People die. People get sick. It doesn't matter how many, you know, insurance policies you put into place. People are still going to die. You can't death-proof this thing, man. None of us gets out of here alive.
No, they don't, and this is a really good time to grow the government, mm-hmm. which you and I are completely against. I'm not after growing government. Government has a place, but I mean, you know, liberties and all the rest of this stuff. And it was wonderful to see, you know, the folks back in my home state, you know, going up to the Capitol and saying, you know, stop this buffoonery.
Yeah. Operation
Whitmer had.
Yeah. Operation. And people can say what they want. Operation Gridlock. When those people showed up, because I had a lot of friends who went, I was working that day, so I couldn't go. But they said miles and miles around the Capitol was just filled
awesome.
With people, you know, and the highways, even another 4 or 5 miles out, were jammed trying to get in. And so I think that scared her. She's never going to admit it, right? But I think the fact that she said, I'm sticking to my guns, I'm going to go for 2 more weeks here, middle of May, but I'm going to relax all the stupid stuff that she did, which, you know, makes everybody go, all right, we're fine with that. Just stop being an idiot, you know. Let us open our greenhouses, which they've done, and all that good stuff. So it makes sense.
It does make sense. And the people would have never got that without saying we're not going to be tyrannized by,
yes,
you know, the government. We're going to say, fuck you. If you want to sell, you know, marijuana and lottery tickets, then I can go out on my boat.
Right. That's exactly right. And I talked about that in the first 5 minutes of the show before I brought you in. The rules, all the really dumb rules, not being able to travel between your houses, not being able to put a motor on your boat and get out on the lake, that kind of, all those stupid rules, the greenhouses opening up, you know, this was their
crazy.
Biggest time of the year. Why wouldn't you allow people to garden and stuff, you know?
Well, they don't have a 12-month season.
No.
I mean, you gotta make hay now.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the same like as you, right? We get 3-4 months of summer. That's it. So you better get your planting done, your landscaping done, all the things you want to make your house look pretty and enjoy it is for the next 4 months. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not gonna, you know, to the point earlier, we're not gonna cheat death. Death is gonna get us all. And, you know, it's nice. The precautions are necessary with certain areas. And certainly New York City was a hotbed with, you know, what was going on there. But, I mean, still, at the end of the day, even with all the crap that went on in New York City, you know, we're still at 5%. The world's at 7% on a death first case. And that's not that bad.
Yeah, there, you know, the
overall.
Yeah, the thing that's really hitting me now after the Stanford study out of California, after even there in New York, I think they said, whoa, we've got a lot more people that are showing antigens in their body, you know, because if you've traveled overseas, now you travel for your job,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Did you ever have a flu between December and now, or flu like
I didn't. I got lucky, you know, it didn't, you know, I tend to get it every so often, but you never know, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I could have had it and you don't know it.
Yeah. You and I have a mutual friend from afar who, I know went to, you know, and I've talked to him quite a bit, who went to China in December.
Yep.
And oddly enough, he kind of said, paused on the phone and said, you know what, I was sick after that, but the doctor said it was the flu, so don't worry about it, whatever. And so, and you, that's been a running joke between us, right?
For sure.
You know, patient zero was Paul. But,
yeah, but he's got an affiliation for bat. He's always been a huge bat lover. So, you know, I think he could have been patient zero for sure.
He was having
I mean, it's anybody, any of us had, could, you know, and, you know, if you got the antibody and you can, you know, put some platelets out there, that's a good thing.
Right. Exactly. I remember having, I rarely get sick, knock on wood. I rarely get sick. I do get a flu shot every year. I think it helps. And I remember in probably early February that I was kind of oddly warm at night, a couple nights, you know. I broke a little sweat in bed, which I don't normally do because I keep the fan on all the time.
Yeah.
And headachy, which, again, is not something I get very often. But I just, you know, like most of those things, if they come and go, you ignore them and you just soldier on, right? So now I think back, do I interact? I work for a South Korean company, and I'm thinking, did we have anyone in the office come through in January that might have been? Who knows, right?
I would absolutely.
Know. You know, we
you're not going to trace these people for you know, the last 30 days of their steps or whatever.
And especially an area like Detroit, which is kind of. Maybe not as bad as New York, but we get a lot of international traffic through here.
Oh,
the auto
sure.
industry is global now, so you get all kinds of people from China coming over. So who knows, or people going over to China and coming back, you know? How many big three executives went to China and came back?
Absolutely.
You know, in December and January, probably hundreds, super carriers, every one of them.
Yeah, it was a shame to see, you know, Detroit get on the map or whatever. But I mean, when you have these concentrations of population that are very close to each other, I mean, that's the breeding ground.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had the thought the other day too, you know, we're sitting in Detroit at about 2,200 dead, allegedly, of COVID. Now, they're not telling us how many people are not dying of a heart attack anymore.
Exactly.
And how many people aren't dying of pneumonia anymore or just plain old age anymore. And it made me wonder, you know, in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks, how many people would normally die in Detroit of something
exactly.
like that? You know, and because we're in lockdown, how many people are not dying on the auto in an accident?
Well, and how many people aren't going and doing what's normally required of their health because they don't want to go to the mm-hmm. doctor's office? They don't want to be, you know, subject to that. And
yeah.
they're playing Russian roulette with whatever issue they have.
Yeah, you can't get a biopsy for cancer stuff right now.
Right.
Allegedly, I heard as of the 27th, some elective surgeries are coming back here. And I'm hoping that Whitmer's smart enough to say, you know what, maybe that's their plan, to ruin the healthcare system, right? Make all the private hospitals go out of business so the government has to take them over. Maybe that's the thing.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. I mean, if we're...
I love me a good conspiracy.
And you love those. I mean, you know, if you're what's the Lethal Weapon guy? What's our old friend that did that movie? Mel Gibson did that movie where he was...
with the tinfoil. He had the actual tinfoil. That was a good movie.
Yeah, okay. I mean, let's be clear. I've got a lot of, you know, dehydrated meals up in the attic here. I'm ready for, you know, Armageddon when it happens. But... you know, I mean, it's just prime time for conspiracies right now. You know, this thing could be about, you know, reducing the economy that was on fire. You know, all the things that Trump is saying each day on the briefing about how, you know, the Asian Americans, the African Americans, you know, the Hispanic Americans are, you know, working. And now here you go. You've changed all of that from 2008. We've lost all those jobs.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, call me a positive. I think if we can get these things open back up in the next week or two, I think we'll be back on top in no time. I really do. I'm feeling that confident. But you can't, you're going to lose a lot of businesses if we go even another 2 weeks.
Exactly. And that's the key. It's just, you know, you've got to keep the small businesses, which is what, about half of the businesses that are out there, that these people have to survive. And then the other thing is, you know, if you're getting a 300 $1 a week unemployment check, and now you get a $600 one, another $1,200 for this, and you know, where does it end?
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, do I really want to go back to work? I'm good. Maybe I'll take a couple extra weeks.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because my brother, as you know, is a I won't say the company, but he's a franchise holder of a hamburger franchise, right? Because he's not here to tell me
right.
himself, so I'm not going to out him. But he owns a lot of Wendy's, and each one is like its own individual, right? So he's still considered small business. I don't know how you call that small business, but he calls it small business. And so he qualified for his Paycheck Protection Program. And he called me yesterday. He said, doggone it. He goes, Gary, can you call Congressman Tim and tell him that you're giving them too much money because they won't come back to work now?
No kidding.
So he, you know, being in the fast food industry, he lost, you know, 45% the first week or so, but then kind of bounced back. So he's down probably 30% from what is normal, you know, and he's had to make some changes and lay some people off, but he's trying to keep everybody that he can because he applied for the paycheck. He wants people to come back.
Yeah.
And now a lot of them are like, nah, I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
I got 900 a week. I'm good.
That's exactly right. And so, I don't know, there was something on there today that I was reading on Fox about how, you know, we're coming up to GDP or something like that with all the money that we're giving out. And, you know, where is it going to stop, right? This says public debt is set to top GDP by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, these you know, the banks aren't going to get paid for loans that they have. You're going to go through this hole, and then, you know, the socialist dynamic, they're going to come back and say, oh, you know, you got to, you know, just like school loans, you know, home loans and all the rest of that stuff. And where is it going to end? I mean, somebody's going to have to pay for that one.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. We're at $22 trillion debt, not including our liabilities for Social Security and Medicare, I think. But add another six just like that, right? We're another six, and probably by the time they finish this next one or two, we'll probably be at another $8 trillion in debt.
And when does the come to roost?
I don't know, dude. That's the scary part, right? Which will lend me to make this statement, right? Doggone it, people, if you can get Trump for four more years, the House with a solid majority for four more years, and the Senate with a solid majority for four more years, you just might be able to get something done and at least put a plan into place to balance the budget within 10 years or whatever, you know?
Yeah, we've got to get that back to that footing, because, you know, if we go the other way and, you know, Michelle Obama, Biden ticket,
oh my gosh,
you know, does something crazy here and steals an election because of this virus, I mean, it's going to, the government will be so massive. There'll be tyrannized marches every other day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's spooky, right? Dude. Now let's change direction here a little bit. Michelle Obama for vice president. You think that's going to happen at the convention?
I don't think it will, but it's a real possibility. And, you know, he's definitely picking a female, right? He made that one, I think, coherent statement, and he's made in the last 8 months by saying he's going to do that.
Yeah, I think he'll go with a female, and it will be a female of color. I don't know that it'll.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no way he's going after Harris. She's too militant. There's no way that's happening. He's not doing Warren. He's not doing the Michigan governor. Her political career is over. And who's left?
Yeah. Kind of makes you wonder. Here's what. Who does George Soros want? Because I think that's what it comes down to, right? Soros and the global elite are going to try and call the shots on this one. They tried to call it last time, and they were upset, surprisingly, and probably still reeling from that. But who, if you're George Soros or a Rothschild or whoever, one of these great families that control all the wealth in the world, who do you pick to take over?
Because
Joe's not
going to
make it,
ticket.
Right?
Obama's your meal ticket.
Michelle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama's your meal ticket, because then you get the, you know, the lovey-dovey of the 8 years we have with President Obama. And, you know, you get this, you get the black female, you get the whole drill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the perfect marriage. And, you know, who knows if Joe is awake enough to even finish out the term.
Yeah. I don't think Joe will make it 6 months. I really don't.
No.
I don't think he'll make it 6 months. You know, he'll get that. His wife will get the pension, whatever. He's in it. And then he's out within the first 6 months, probably voluntarily. You know?
Right. Well, in all fairness to that guy, I mean, you know, policy aside, you know, the guy's been a career-long politician. He's done some great things in his career. He's done the normal gaffes and the normal crap that we can look back at and say, you know, why did you have that position then and this position now, all that stuff. You know, he's been a great public servant for whatever public servants are worth these days.
A dime.
But a dime, maybe 15 cents max. But, you know, to go out like this is really tough. It's like, you know, the aging boxer.
Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed of his family for doing this to him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, if his son was around, you know, would he be talking him out of it? You know, the one that passed.
Right.
Because the other one's corrupt, right? I mean, that's clear.
Corrupt and obviously the dumber of the two, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So well, that kind of makes me think more likely now that Michelle's the one. Now, for me, when I look at it as a common sense person, I'm thinking, you know what? The country's had enough of Obamas. I can tell you that. They're not going to trust.
Oh, no doubt.
And if anything of these polling is to be believed, and I don't believe most of them, but they're consistently coming in with the African-American population over 30% supporting Donald Trump now.
Yeah. And
they always said anything more than 8%, the Democrats were in trouble. Well, you're at 30%. And I've seen similar ones when you talk about Hispanic is even higher for Donald Trump. Which
exactly
just, it blows everybody's mind, right? They tried to paint him as the racist who hates Hispanic people, and yet he's done so much. Even closing down the border and making a big stink about illegals, he's getting the Spanish vote, Hispanic vote, because you know what? They're employed.
They're employed.
They've got the highest employment ever.
That's why this is tough right now, because you know this is the ground that the Democrats can carve is that, hey, Look at all the African Americans propensity to the population that are dying, and they can do all the CNN, you know, headline crap and start to build up that stuff. And then you're not working right now, and you may not be working in November. And that's the time to claw that back, even though, like you said, he's built up that base quite nicely and surprisingly. But, you know, will they be able to claw that back with the Hispanics and the African-Americans and the rest of those folks? That's going to be the trick.
So the idea for the Democrats would be a female Hispanic. But I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I can't either. I don't know if she's out there or willing to, you know, get into the fray.
I guess I overlooked the obvious, but I'm thinking there's just no way. She's just too dumb. AOC. Hispanic.
There's no way.
There's no way, though.
There's
right?
Just no
please,
way.
Please, Lord, please there's, let there be no way.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. I mean, she, you know, if this was like 3 or 4 years from now, and you
she
know,
was
she was
three-termer.
Able to, yeah, she was able to get some more ground in her build up her, you know, her wins and the people that she supports and all that. Maybe. But not now. It's too early. The only candidate is Michelle Obama.
Yeah. Well, you know, you really depressed me now, Pat, because now I'm thinking they're gonna go for it. But I don't see America voting for an Obama. You know, her being
I don't either. But the romance of, you know, those 8 years for many people. I mean, that was like. the epiphany of, we can, they were in power. Everyone was in power that was in that electorate.
Yes, we can't.
You know, yes, exactly, right? So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's scary to think, you know, the polls that were out the other day, and, you know, polls, obviously we like them because they were completely wrong in the Hillary thing. But, you know, they're back to the, you know, piling on that he's not going to get the female vote. He's not going to get, all these other things that are out there that are going to, Michigan and all these,
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I really don't have a problem. I'd put $20, $50, $100 down on a bet that Trump will win in November. At this point, I don't know what they can pull out of the hat, because it's classic Trump in these 2-hour meetings every night.
It's great. I mean, he's loving that. And I agree with you 1,000,000%. We can't get complacent, because they're gaining ground, right? I mean, the mail-in vote and all the rest of that stuff, that's not good.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me, is the fraudulent voting, the illegal votes, the dead people voting.
Right.
Yeah, they've really got to get voter ID. They got to clean up the voter rolls, get the voter ID in place, and certainly don't do this mail-in ballots, because it's that ballot harvesting, right? That's why we lost all of Southern California last time around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what scares me the most. And I don't know that we're in a position to do anything about it. If you can step up to the plate, give us a good solid majority in the House and Senate in November, we could put a voter ID in place across the board, right?
There could be some really nice things going on. This is a really good time to go after the health care in a little bit of a different way. But back to the infrastructure, has to get done.
Yes. Yes.
To get done.
It does. I wouldn't have minded spending $2 trillion for an infrastructure plan. But we're going to walk away with this last $6 trillion deal with nothing to show for it.
No, nothing to show for it. It's like lighting money on fire. Right? Because you can't open, if you're in Michigan, you can't open your restaurant anyway.
Right.
So what do you do?
Yeah. I don't know that I'm actually getting anything. I went on the website and it said, you might be getting something. Oh, that's great. Thanks. Anyways, I'm just assuming I'm not getting anything, right?
It'll be interesting as it goes on, for sure. But, it has to stop at some point in time. I mean, they've been printing money for years.
Yeah. Well, so I don't quite understand, when I think of the Federal Reserve, I immediately go full on conspiracy mode. And I know a lot of people say, oh, Gary's got his tinfoil hat, or he's going to talk about the Federal Reserve. But I'll never forget this. You know, years ago, I worked as a family investment director in Inkster, Michigan, right? So I was kind of on the government payroll.
I remember that, yeah.
And I always went into work real early in the morning. First guy in, opened the place up, and I'd sit there for an hour alone, fiddle farting around and whatnot. And the fax machine went off one morning, that early in the morning. Like, who's faxing at this time of the morning, This fax rolls off, and it's the strangest thing. It asks a question about the Federal Reserve, and there was this guy, an African-American guy, what had his little picture on it, and it came through on the fax machine, of all things. And it went into a long, detailed discussion about who the Fed is, what the Fed is, what they do, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know that any of it was true, but I thought to myself, ooh, somebody's trying to spread the word. There must if they're faxing random phone numbers, So I was
talking. Wow.
I walked away knowing two things: that the Federal Reserve is not owned by the government. They are a private institution, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing I came across with was the description that, and if my memory might be a little foggy, but I thought he said, in essence, the Federal Reserve is a privately held bank that when the U.S. government wants a dollar, the Federal Reserve will print a note that costs them about 3 cents. And then they charged the United States government $1 for that 3-cent piece of paper. And then they begin charging interest to the United States government on that dollar. So they're not printing the dollar and giving it to the United States and saying, there's your dollar. They're charging you $1 for the dollar, and then they're paying interest on it. And I went, what kind of a...
Yeah, they're bookies.
What kind of a scam is that? You're charging me for the dollar that cost you 3 cents, but I don't get the dollar. I owe you $1, and it's now $1. Right? I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense at all. So maybe it's description or my memory is foggy, but I'm thinking to myself, who are these Federal Reserve guys? These guys are making a lot of money for doing nothing.
Yeah, they are making a lot of money. And the figures may be a little different now with the rate, interest rates and all the rest of that. But yeah, I mean, they're essentially, you know, the financial god.
Yeah.
Whether it's the banks or whatever, you know, the banks have been borrowing cash. You know, you just turn on back and listen to his.
Oh, my God. He scares me now, dude.
You know, but well, yeah, he's totally, you know, off the deep end now on, you know, the fear mongering. But
I love it how he always says, I don't want to scare you now, but you better divest into gold. I'm thinking,
he's getting paid and, you know, he's got his way. But I mean, at the end of the day, he's been talking about for the last 15 months about how the banks have been, you know, in the dead of the night, getting whole.
Yeah. Getting money because they're not meeting their
money because they're not meeting their objectives.
Yeah.
And the stuff that was put in Dodd-Frank and all the rest of that stuff, they're limping through that. And that was before, you know, we just cut a check for $484 billion today.
Right. So let me ask you this, and this is how I lead into the conspiracy of all conspiracies. So, but spending money like dogs, right? They're printing money, they're giving it to the banks, blah, blah, blah. And the Federal Reserve that we owe all this money to, correct?
Yeah.
So what happens if the United States government says, we're just going to arrest the heads of these families that own the Federal Reserve and charge them for, I don't know, God knows what?
Treason.
You know, maybe they're part of the global pedophilic ring, which I wouldn't doubt. Don't get me started on that one because I'm all up into that conspiracy. But what if the United States government said, you know what, Federal Reserve, we created you. We're done with you. Thank you very much. We owe ourselves that money now.
Well, they can probably get through that, let's say, phone call or discussion, but then the Chinese are coming.
Yeah, you got the Chinese who at this point, right? And then I think we've already got the Chinese now by the short hairs because.
Well, I hope we can do something.
How many trillions of dollars did they cost the United States and other people around the world? Not alone, let alone the lives, right? How many trillions of dollars did we all lose in our economies around the globe and say to China, you know what? You lent us all that money, but we're not going to pay you back because you owe us for this. And we'll go to the world court and win in the world court.
I can't wait for all that to happen. I mean, that's going to be like, I mean, can you imagine Adam Schiff's glory? If he could get his arms around a cause like that and go fucking ballistic like he normally does with the Trump stuff that he did. I mean, it would be like a dream.
Exactly. And why is that? Because Democrats should be, you know what? Fine, take your anger out on the Chinese. Let's change the laws. Let's every state in the union, like Missouri, sue China. We'll get all of Western Europe to sue, South America, Australia, India. We all sue China. And what would you do? Well, maybe China knew that, and that's why they'll say, well, you can have our ghost cities.
Yeah.
We got all these nice big ghost cities. You can have those instead.
What I'm studying more and more is, you know, what the Swiss are doing.
What are the Swiss doing?
And they're saying, look, I'm not going to cheat death. Okay, I'm handling this thing pragmatically. You know, they take care of their own economy and then they go from there. They're not exporters.
Right.
You know, they take care of, so you know, will there be some mixture between a free market economy and the nationalism that, you know, I think Trump was rightly for during his commencement speech in 2016, that, you know, we can't have a scenario where we don't have a face mask.
Yeah.
We can't have a scenario where we don't, you know, have the oil and the self-sufficient nature of our being.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely critical. And hopefully that's something that comes out of this thing. And I think it might even be a good time to, you know, task the other side of the aisle that they believe that in some respects too, that we can't be beholden to these other people, including the WHO, which the best move he made was to say, I'm not cutting you another check.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you saw China donated another $30 million to them.
Yeah,
today.
Of course. Well, they're good. If they want to pay for that, fine. And, you know, they got into that thing, and that the guy that's running that thing isn't a doctor.
He's Tedros.
He's beholden to China anyway. He's got, you know, he's thick as thieves with the Chinese. So, okay, great. Here, there's your new partner.
Yeah. What is it about the UN? They always give these corrupt, incompetent people from third world countries run the UN. You know, the UN Inspector General.
It's who can get the money. It's who can pony up the dollars.
Jeez Louise.
That's who it is.
Man. God. We need to be
honest.
What
are these
UN.
People actually doing, Gary? I mean, they're just sitting there.
They right? go to Haiti and they take tuberculosis and give it to all the prostitutes right. on Haiti and infect the whole
meet,
island.
Well, they meet once a month at a $2,000 a night hotel, you know, drink Dom P, you know, smoke big Cuban cigars, and they make policy. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, they're the most omnipotent person I can think of or body I can think of.
Yeah, they're people that should not be where they are. I mean, let's get back to COVID real quick, because I want to try and bounce what I'm feeling off of somebody else, because part of me is thinking this thing is a complete hoax. Part of me is saying there's no way people would hoax us like this. And is it really somewhere in between? The data that I'm seeing shows me COVID is going to end up looking like the flu when it comes to mortality rates, when it comes to infection. Infection rate may be higher because it's a little easier to spread. I don't know. But I'm not finding that it's if I'm correct and I'm thinking by June, 30, 40 million Americans have already had this. Most of them didn't even know they had it. What is your mortality rate now? You know, if 30 to 40 million people have had or do have it now, and we've only got, they're calling it 50,000, and I think that's exaggerated by 50% or 100% even, because they've been counting everyone that dies, right? If you die of a heart attack or pneumonia,
yeah,
now they're
right.
calling it COVID, whether you tested
Absolutely.
It or not. But I think the mortality rate is going to be so down there that did we literally break the best economy in the world because we had an extra flu this year?
Yes, we did. I mean, there's no question that the coronavirus is a real threat, but the way that we reacted to it was pandemonium.
Yeah. You
and that didn't have to happen.
Yeah, I'm just blown away. I mean, I'm trying to find the upsides, the silver linings, like you said. I think one of those silver linings will be a return of a lot of manufacturing to the United States.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I thought to myself, well, it's always so cheap to go to a third world country to have somebody sew a mask or sew a garment, you know, make the low-tech stuff is easy. And I thought to myself, and I even tweeted it to the president, I said, is there a way that you can bring that kind of manufacturing back here and just don't tax those companies or don't tax them as much certainly don't regulate them or don't make them pay payroll tax? I don't know. Give them a benefit so that you can still make that low tech here, pay a decent American wage, but the regulations and taxes are so good that you're going to do it here anyways, right?
Absolutely. How about, you know, starting a mask manufacturing plant in Compton in L.A.?
Yeah.
How about doing one in, you know, the worst parts of New York City, Detroit, Milwaukee, Baltimore. Name the abhorrent area of those cities and say, here's your new opportunity.
Yep. You don't need a high school education to do it, right? We're going to teach you to
exactly
sew a mask, right?
Yeah. And you know, the Dave Bings and the entrepreneurs of the Magic Johnsons and these people that have names and those kind of things can go in and start these businesses, complete, you know, no tax, no whatever, and give all these jobs to those folks and say, everybody that wants to work can work in,
right,
this, in this country.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, an athlete, you're not going to make, $25 or $30 million a year anymore. You're going to make 15.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I just wish there was a way, you know, so that's one of the silver linings, right? So find a way to bring back that manufacturing. Another silver lining, I think, is the fact that it's a wake-up call to the cities, the states, the localities, the counties, the state and federal governments that, you know what, you better be a little prepared for ventilators.
Exactly.
You know, next time we better be prepared because we have stockpiles in place and ready to go. Because, you know what, the next time the Chinese might not be so nice. They might send over something really abhorrent, you know?
Yeah, for sure. They may send over, pre-populated masks with COVID on it.
Well, they sent the tests over that were already there, right?
That's right.
Here, let me infect these swabs a little bit, and then we'll send them to the Americans and let them. They're all 100%. They all got it. Yes, they do.
They do. It's so, you know, everything come like the silver lining will come out at some point. In time.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, you're going to have to get through the dynamics of the people that are going to take advantage of this situation. The political dynamics of this thing. But at the end of the day, I thought from the things that we've been hearing on the daily briefing is we're actually brought together in a time that I never thought we would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, this was going south hard, you know, with this whole shift thing and, you know, one conspiracy thing after the other and hearing and all. They weren't going to let this guy govern. And he's been governing now every day and everybody's seeing it.
That's true.
And I think they like him. And yeah, I think they, at the end of the day,
I agree.
He's, so that part of it, I think, has been really refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, even with the few gaffes that he's been prone to throw out occasionally, because you can't talk for 2 hours a day and not get caught in a gaffe sooner or later, right?
Yeah. But, he definitely could. He definitely could curtail the time he allows these people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But on the other hand, I think you're right. It is good because I think most people, and we'll know, you know, come November 3rd, we're going to know. And whether he's, or I'm, like I said, I'd put money on it right now. I don't know what the odds are.
Oh, there's no question about it. No question about
yeah,
it. I mean, the only way that he gets that he is if he, these people can claw back the people that you talked about that went away.
And yeah.
The Hispanics were coming with them. The African-Americans were coming with them. If this is a chance for them to get weary, then yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's still going to lose the popular vote, but who gives a shit? That's why there's, you know, the electorate, the electoral college, and it's the right thing for our country. California can't rule the country.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. When you talk to, because you now live in a basically liberal state, right? Even though upstate, you're probably some more conservatives. What do you hear in your state, in New York?
Well, it's this SOB entirely here, but where I'm at, you know, there's still guys with, you know, a 1978 Ford pickup with a lift kit and a Confederate flag. Okay. So up here, there's still plenty of that dynamic.
Yeah.
But,
so
but what they don't like, they love what Cuomo is doing. Cuomo's in his glory. He's getting a lot of good publicity. He's done a fine job. you know, overall he's overreach where he needs to, but that's just how he is.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not, these people aren't going to bend and stray away from that, that liberal dynamic. That's just what's in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a New York, that's New York State. We know Trump's not going to win that one anyways.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen because he'll never, the city rules the roost here. You know, the city, you know, we're just, you know, paying money for the city up here.
Yeah. Did you have any protests in Albany? Did they, did anyone protest the Capitol there?
Yeah, they came out and they came out in pretty good force and they were, you know, they're tired of it. And there was plenty of able-bodied Americans out there saying that, look, my liberty is being being taken away from me and you're not God. And you better figure out who you are because, you know, his, you know, at the end of the day, what he said the other day about, you know, hey, if you want a job, if you want to go to work, have a job in a essential business. And that was a slap in the face to anybody that is going out there and doing a job. Who the hell, every job's essential.
Right.
If you're trying to feed your family, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing I kind of took away from that statement was, right, you're telling people if you want to go to work so bad, you go, you either stay home so you don't die, or if you want to go to work, go get a new job as an essential worker, you know? And I'm thinking to myself,
yeah,
that's pretty hypocritical. So you can either stay at home or you can go out and die, or you can take a job as an essential worker and possibly die. And I'm thinking, yeah, what the hell, man? What kind of a statement is that to make to people?
Well, it's just a matter of time before you show your true colors. I mean, people can talk about, you know, out of the five briefings that Trump has, two, he goes off on the dumbass reporter, and the other ones, he's extra presidential. I mean, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Everybody's human. Everybody goes out there and, you know, they want to do a good job. And if you criticize them that they're not doing their job well enough, sometimes they're going to tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in your town. But I'm thinking here, even though she told us mid-May that we'd be back open, at least she's looking at it, I think she's going to lighten up even more in the next 2 weeks here. So I think in Michigan it'll come around. But I feel optimistic, oddly enough. I shouldn't. I haven't even looked at my 401k because I'm like, I don't want to.
No, don't do it yet.
I don't even want to look at it because, you know, it puts retirement in.
No, the let's say her flower is wilting. She had her, you know, I mean, you've got this, you know, this time line where you can really make hay. And I mean, she probably, you know, 6 months ago was probably a good chance to be the running mate. And there's no way.
Yeah, so I think
that,
she blew it.
That period, you know, she's listening to the wrong people and getting the wrong advice, or she's not listening to advice, whatever it is, and she's now a pariah.
Yeah, yeah. She'll be lucky to get a second term here in Michigan at this rate. So, all right, Pat. Well, heck, man, that blew an hour like nobody's business. So,
Good to speak to you, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. We'll have to do this again, and as we wear through this bloody pandemic, we'll check in with you again. So thank you so much, man, for calling and hang on the line for a minute there, and I'll finish up talking with you. Hang tight.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Well, that wraps up another show, and I want to thank my buddy Pat for calling into the show. And if you want to call in or make a comment, Gary@thedailydrift.com. That's Gary@thedailydrift.com. And until then, make sure you're checking out thedailydrift.com. That's www.thedailydrift.com. Till next time, we'll see you.